Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. I simply entitled this, Are You an Obedient Child of God? Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. You keep the context of Scripture. You have it on your mind. You keep it and understand, like through tough times that I go through and difficulties that I go through, and when I'm having those experiences, when it's unspeakable, I can have that unspeakable joy because I belong to the Father. Everything around me may be falling apart, but I have God. I can worship. I have my Father. It's that's who you hang on to. We don't run back to the carnality of this world. And it's sad because a lot of times, like what we do is we'll fear the repercussions of sin, but not the Father. Right? It's more of the Judas version of sin instead of the Peter version of sin where you repent. You have remorse. And you're just, how do I fix it? And you can't. The only way you fix it is by going to your Father and repenting. That's it. And asking forgiveness. That's the first thing that we should do. And so the fear that he's talking about is a reverence of God and understanding I'm not trying to do it to please myself. I'm doing it to be Christ-like, to please my Father. I want to do good for my Father, so it brings glory to Him and not to me. His last part here is his victory in verses 18 through 21. It says, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold. He's like, you were redeemed from past sins. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself in the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh is no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffice for doing what the Gentiles want to do, live in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when they do not join them, and in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. It's like you're not participating in that stuff because you've been forgiven of your past, your present, your future sin. When you come to Christ, that's how it happens. Now, does that mean that you're not a sinner? No, you are. You're going through sanctification now. And understanding, like, those things that you used to do, I'm not doing anymore. I'm not gonna be a part of that anymore. It's not gonna be a part of my life. And so it's an understanding that those ungodly activities, we're not accepting to do those anymore because we love God and we want to honor God, and we understand the cost of that sin that went up on that cross. And so you begin to sin less. And it's understanding that you're allowing Christ to shine through you. being used by God because you're redeemed. He bought you at a very heavy price. It's a debt that you could not pay on your own. You can't pay it. I can't pay it. Yeah, how many of us used to think, well, I'll just get the old weigh scale out and my good will outweigh my bad. I was that way for a long time. And then I got into my 20s and I realized there's too much bad. And there's no way I'm going to make it to heaven. I didn't understand the Word of God. God doesn't base it on a whale of good and bad. He doesn't do that. He bases it on one sin. Guilty? Not guilty. And guess what? Until you have Christ, He's the only one that can pay the debt. And so He's reminding us within that, it's like you have to remember that you are His. And you were bought. Peter's going to go on and talk about that it's imperishable. Like, it never rusts. It's in heaven. Like, you're mine. You're mine. And so when people will tell me, well, you know, can you lose your salvation? That's one of the topics that happens sometimes with young believers. And Chuck would always say, once saved, always saved, as long as you abide. Well, a child of God does it willingly. Right? We run. And look, you probably got prodigals in your house where they're following God and they're doing well, and then they get into the carnality and the former passions and the lust of the world. And then, boom, they get hit. They come to repentance, and then they draw back. Did that person lose their salvation? No. They belong to God. If it was based upon that, we would have lost our salvation a long time ago. Every one of us. Let's be real. In verse 19, it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, like of that of the Lamb without blemish, spot." We talked about that on Good Friday, that on Good Friday they were actually picking their lambs that would be slaughtered for Passover. And so as Jesus comes in on the donkey, He was the Passover lamb. As they were worshiping Him, Hosanna in the highest, as He's being worshiped, He was without blemish or spot, without sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And it was the precious blood of Christ that was spilled on the cross for us. We think about that triumphal entry and then Good Friday, those two things, those two events that happened. And we read this scripture and Peter was there. And that's why I love this piece of scripture, because he saw the perfect Lamb of God, but he didn't see the blood spilt. Only John did. Only John. Everyone else scattered. And I love that Peter uses that word precious. Precious blood of Christ. And that word in the Greek means highly esteemed, held in honor. It's the same word he uses in 1 Peter chapter 2 as he describes the chief cornerstone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, it says, "As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious." I love that he uses that word. "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame.'" I love that Peter uses that word precious. It's a beautiful word as he talks about the precious blood of Christ. the holy, sinless Lamb, spotless. And then verse 21 says, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for sake of you. If nobody told you, you are in the last times. Right? You're in the last times. And Jesus can return at any moment. The rapture can happen at any moment. There's nothing else on the prophetic clock that is just going to happen. You could be on your way home. And now if you do that and your husband's still there, then you're crazy, man. You going up and you're looking down and he's still like, oh, I knew it. Knew he wasn't a child of God. No. He's got some work to do. God's going to have to work on him during the tribulation. Maybe he'll be martyred, right? Yeah, I don't know. But I love that it's the foreknowledge. Peter talks about that when he spoke on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It says, Then Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed the hands of the lawless men. So it was the foreknowledge of God. This was always the plan. This was always the plan before Adam and Eve. Right? There was always a redemption plan that involved Jesus Christ. This is not something that is written by a bunch of men. Men couldn't figure this out if they wanted to. Let's be real. When you look at just the messianic prophecies that were fulfilled, there's no way a man could have. Man can't even follow instructions, right? When they're building something, wives are like, yep. They always have extra pieces left. Matter of fact, we put the TV stands together, there's extra pieces right back on that back table. And we were like, what are those for? And so we were like, let's just look at the pictures. That's how we are. But we understand that when we read the Bible, the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation is about His Son. And it's about the prophetic prophecies, of the messianic prophecies that were fulfilled, that Jesus was always going to be here. And I love that foreknowledge, that God was going to give His Son up to be crucified. So when you talk about grief, no one knows grief like the Father. He gave up His Son to be tortured, spit on, mocked, beaten, crucified. It was all, and the beauty of that, as we think about God the Father, God the Son was obedient to the Father. All the way to the cross. And that's why when we look at Passover this past week, it's I love that we're in this verse this week, because it's a reminder to us that before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ would be sent to be the Passover lamb for my sin and your sin. And it's a graphic picture to remind us of His grace and mercy and how much He loves us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, Who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So He goes through the ascension and return Christ to the glory that He had with Him before the world began. And Christ intercedes for you. He's at the right hand of the Father. And He's interceding for me and you. He wants to hear from you. He's like, you're believers in God. You're children of God. Come talk to your Father. You don't have an intimate prayer life. You don't have, this is your instructions that God gives you every day. You want to hear from God. This is how you do it. That's what the Bible's for. I don't hear God. It's right here. You need to plug into it. And you go, I can't read, Mike. I have a hard time reading, I can't concentrate. Well, you can listen to it. There's no excuses today. Right? You can hear it. It's important for us to remember, like, for us, we're believers in God. And he's saying, like, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. That's what we're supposed to do, is to give him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, not the world, not in a political leader, not in your spouse, in God. We put too much pressure and hope in things that are not from God. And sadly, one of the things that we do know is that this generation is struggling because they put their hope and faith in everything but God. They don't know God. That's why the suicide rates are higher than it's ever been. You have kids taking fentanyl and whatever else they can get their hands on. They order it through TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat. They just order drugs through emojis, and they're delivered like Uber drivers. Kids are dying. One hit and they're dead. And parents are lost because they're working two jobs and trying to survive, and the kids get neglected, and the TV or the tablet or the game, the Xbox or any of that stuff that they're playing, that's what's raising them. They're isolated. And that's not what God intended for his children or for the husband and wife. Right? But we put our faith and hope in many things, but why not God? That's why it's important for this generation, for us to go out and share the gospel. They're looking for hope. They're looking for it. The way that they're doing is, like, even this transgender thing, they're just needing attention. They're not getting it. We're not, like, this is one of the things that our missionary, Christina Brudeau, is doing in Chile. So this church, we have missionaries in Abkhazia, near Sochi, Russia. In Irapuato, Mexico, the Gallegos family, the Kavachinkos are in Russia, Georgia/Russia in that area, and Christina Brudeau, who's in Chile. And they've been going through all the high schools and middle schools right now sharing the gospel, and those kids are coming to faith. Why? Because they have no hope. They're looking for hope. So don't be so quick to, you know what your dad and mom said about your generation? Oh, it's the worst generation ever. You know what my grandfather said about my dad's generation? Oh, this generation is so terrible. Y'all's is even worse. We got to be careful not to do that. You have an opportunity. If you have youth in your life, and we have youth in our church, sow into them. Let them find hope and faith in God. Teach your kids to find hope and faith in God. Your little ones. Don't be so focused on chasing money, because it just creates more mess sometimes. It's not always the answer. And you go, Mike, I've seen, but you, man, you've been to the grocery store? Yeah, I've been there too. I'm not buying all the steaks. I don't know where Robert, we're going to have to go to Robert's house. I'm not getting all the steaks that Robert's getting. But what does it tell us? That where our hope is that in John 10:9, it says, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's our hope. When we look at this, one of the things I love is that as we end here is some of us don't go past the cross as children of God. And what I mean by that is as we are to grow and mature in Christ, right? And as we think about that, there's a place in Italy, in the Alps, where people go, and they go because they get this wonderful picture in the Alps of Italy, right? And it has a crucifixion on it, a big cross there, and everybody loves to get their picture with the cross, and they beautiful sunrises and sunsets, but they didn't realize that just 50 feet beyond the cross, going up a little hill, there was something else. What happened is it got overgrown. And one time, one of the tourists decided, I want to go see what's up the hill. So he went up the hill, and he fought through the brush that was there. And the same people who put the cross up put another shrine up, and it was of the empty tomb. And it was neglected. Brush had grown over it, and I don't know how many people, thousands of people who had been there, never went past the cross. They gave their life to Christ, and they never went past the cross. In the Alps, they had the picture, did it, I'm out. Nobody ever went up the other path to see the empty tomb. It's a reminder to us, like a lot of times what happens is when we allow the overgrowth of those former passions and ignorance, it's like the brush growing over it. And you just stay at the cross. Yeah, you've been forgiven, but are you growing? Right? It's about growing. And that's really, at the end of the day, what we want for this church is I don't want you growing. Like, it's great that you know the Bible. We want you to understand the Bible. That's why we go through it verse by verse, right? But I also want you to apply it. You live it. I would rather see your life changed. Because look, I have been in churches where I got guys that could out-teach me every day of the week. And what I mean by that theologically, sound. Home life, a wreck. They can argue every point. They can argue every theological statement. But there's no growth in their life. They're stuck at the cross. They've never left the cross. Even though they have all that knowledge, they're not applying it. They're just getting fat in the chairs. We need to exercise our faith as obedient children of God. Okay? So that's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you an obedient children of God? Are you chasing the former passions and lust and ignorance? If you are, we can just ask for forgiveness. Is that easy? Because I can tell you one of the things, as your pastor, I sat in these scriptures this week, and there's some things that I had to ask for forgiveness of. Be holy, for I am holy. Right? All of it. Well, I got this something over here. No, it's got to go. I didn't ask you to be half with me. It's all full. Whole. Not half of it, whole. And I didn't ask you to be full of yourself. Pride, people-pleasing. Right? Those kind of things, anger, hate, unforgiveness. Well, I'm hanging on. Oh, man, you don't know what they did to me 20 years ago. Let it go. Give it over to God. Nobody said you had to call them and make them your best friend. Just give it over to God. Let God start healing your heart first. Be holy, for I'm holy. He doesn't want half of you. He wants the whole of you. He wants all of you. And in that pursuit of holiness, understand that you're going to need grace for the journey.
And a lot of times what we do when Christians struggle, what do? We beat them up. We kick them when they're down. Show mercy. Show grace. Because you're going to need it one day.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.